Could I ask you to turn in God's Word, please? Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 15. Now, as we're doing so, can I thank young people and the church here for the invitation to come and speak tonight. And we just pray that the Lord will speak through His Word. And we ask that you'll take time to listen to God's Word and that we'll hear His voice speaking to our hearts tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we're going to read the first two verses and then go down to verse number 11. Luke's Gospel 15 and verse number 1. Then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse number 11. And Jesus said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent them into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. The parable that I have read is probably one of the most familiar out of all the Gospels. Not only because it's preached in Sunday school, and children's meetings, and youth fellowships, and church services, but because it is so often lived out in our society. I believe whenever we're reading this passage, you were able to picture someone in your mind who has gone to the far country. Someone who is in a place that they ought not to be. Someone who has turned their back on the things of God. Perhaps even tonight, as we read this passage of God's Word, you saw yourself. Someone who has turned their back on the things of God, refusing to admit or submit to the authority of their Creator, and trying to find satisfaction in the things of the world. At the very commencement of this meeting, let me ask you, where are you tonight? Are you at the Father's house? Are you saved? Are you in the world trying to find satisfaction in things that cannot and will not satisfy? Look how the passage begins. It says in verse number 1, Then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now you'll notice here that there was great wisdom because the publicans and the sinners came to hear Christ. They came to hear the word of God. This is true wisdom. We're glad you've come to the gospel meeting tonight, but we pray you've come to hear the word of God. We pray you've come to hear the voice of God. We trust and pray you haven't only come to hear the voice of God, but you've come to obey it. You know, there are many people come to gospel meetings. Go to Sunday school, go to Sabbath school, go to church services, go to youth fellowship. Believe they're doing something good in the eyes of the Lord. They listen to the word of God, they hear the word of God. Maybe even take notes in the word of God. And yet, whenever they leave the house of God, they forget it and they refuse to obey it. Do you know that you're going to have to give an account for every meeting you've been in, what you've done with the word of God? What will you do with the word of God tonight? You see, it's a solemn and a fearful thing for a man or woman to hear the word of God and then refuse to obey it. to hear the commands of God, and yet to go out into eternity never having received the claims of Christ. Never having put their faith and trust in the word that God has given that man might be saved. We're glad you're here tonight, young person, but it doesn't affect your standing before God being in this meeting. What affects your standing before God is this: what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed him? Have you come on to him? Have you trusted in him? Now, while many came to hear him, notice that there were those who didn't want to hear him, because in verse 2 it says, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, this is the religious men of the day. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the revealed word of God at that time. Yet they didn't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They didn't realize he was a savior. They didn't agree with him. They felt he was a fake, a phony, someone who ought not to be listened to. And you know what happened? They scoffed. They murmured. Oh, they weren't saying it outright, but within their hearts they said, look at him. He's going to deal with sinners. They washed their hands of sinners. They walked across the street from the sinners. He didn't want to be associated with sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That's the purpose of the Lord. And while they murmured among themselves, remember this, that the Lord knows the thoughts of man's heart. Psalm 139 tells us, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou compass my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Now, friend, tonight in this meeting, the Lord knows your heart, knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. Perhaps some people are thinking, I wish you'd hurry on, get this over with. We can speak to each other, get the food, or whatever's happening afterwards. I don't want to be here. I'm sitting here because my parents sent me. Lord knows why you're here tonight. Lord knows your thoughts. Lord knows your heart. He sees those who love him, those who are rebelling against him, those who are just putting in their time until they're able to do what the prodigal son did, until they're able to flee away from the things of God. What does God see when he looks at your heart tonight? I see people dressed respectably for church, but the Lord sees the heart. I want you to know that we're speaking about a lost son here. And whenever we go to verse number 11, we will find that there was a young man. And verse 12 says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Here's a young man, and from what the Bible reveals, he lived in a good home. He lived in a loving home, certainly. He lived in a wealthy home. They had servants there. He lived in a home where he had employment. He lived in a home where he had everything that he could ever want, everything that he could ever desire, every good thing that was necessary. His father provided it for him. But you'll find here that he wanted something more. He thought, there's more to life. There's more to life. He didn't say, thank you, Father, for all you've done for me. He didn't say, thank you, Father, for the provision and the sacrifices you've made to me. No, all he could think about was, there must be something more. If I stay here and do the things that the Father wants me to do, you know, it's holding me back. I'm not living the life to the full. I'm not experiencing life. I'm not having fullness of life. And here he comes to his father. And instead of thinking about what his father has done for him, he says, Father, give to me that which will come to me whenever you die. I want it now. I don't want to wait. I want it right now. And you know what this young man wanted? He wanted blessings from his father. He wanted riches from his father, but he didn't want his father. You know, that's many people today. That's how they treat God. Oh, they want the blessings of God. They want help that only God can give. They want a job that only God can give. They want a certain relationship with another person which God can help provide. They want everything that God has to offer. They don't want God. Health and strength, soundness of body and mind, family, a home, all these blessings that God gives. Lord, give me, but I don't want you. Friends, you realize tonight that everything you have belongs to God. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. You're sitting in a body of health tonight. That's a testimony to the fact you're sitting in this meeting. It's also a testimony to the fact that God has blessed you with health. Friend, it's not yours, it's God's. God has given you a sound body. He's given you a sound mind. Many of you have been given good families. Many of you have been given good jobs. You're not wanting for anything in life. Friend, God has given these things unto you, and yet you don't want God. All you have belongs to him. In fact, God's word reminds us that the very breath that you breathe belongs to God. In this meeting, should God withhold the breath from you, friend, you know what would happen. You pass into eternity. Everything you have belongs to the Lord. And one day the soul that God has given to you will return unto him. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And you'll stand before God on the day of judgment. And the Lord will judge the soul of what you have done with it. And here was a young man who was saying, you know, Father's authority, a Father's care, and Father's provision doesn't satisfy me. I want something more. I want something more. And there are many young people tonight, and many older people. And you know what they're saying? I want something more to life. You know, if I gave my life to the Lord, I'd miss out big time. Oh, I would miss out. I wouldn't be satisfied. And what you're saying tonight is this: I'll not get saved, or I'll not go through with God, or I'll not obey God, because if I do that, I'll miss out. I'll miss out. God will make my life miserable. God will not satisfy me. And that's the lie of the devil. There's many young persons who think, if I get saved, well, I have to be miserable. And I have to dress a certain way, and I have to look a certain way, and I have to act a certain way, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and all the fun will be taken out of my life. Friend, the word of God tells us that Christ Jesus came to give us life. And whenever you're saved, that's when you start living. And here you are sitting in this meeting, and you're thinking in your heart, you know, if I get saved, I'd miss out in life. Friend, you're not even living now. The word of God tells us you're in the deadness of your sin. And while you continue on in your sin and rebellion, the world and your friends laugh. In fact, we find out whenever he went to sin in the far country, he had plenty of friends around him. Oh, the laugh was good. It was fun. It was enjoyable. But what he didn't realise at that time was this: God was angry with his sin. You see, this brings it down to the point we have to make right here. This man was a sinner. We're all born in sin. We're all born separated from God. And friend, the word of God tells us that God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Oh, you might be enjoying the sin of life now. You might be enjoying the world. You might be enjoying the freedom that money brings and the sins and the pleasures that can be offered. But let me tell you this: God is angry with your sin. Now, God's wrath hasn't been poured out upon your sin yet. That happens on the day of judgment. But God is angry with the wicked every day. Why is God angry with the wicked? Because all sin is against God. All sin is against God. Oh yes, whenever you sin, you might offend your family. You might offend your friends. You certainly offend your enemies. But you offend God. All sin is against God. All sin is seen by God. And friend, all sin will be dealt with God. Do you realize as you sit in this meeting tonight that there's coming a day when God will deal with sin? That God has dealt with sin. God has dealt with sin in the cross of Calvary. But if you've never been to the cross, if you've never been saved, your sin will be dealt with on the judgment day whenever God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you." Friends, should God take the breath from your body this moment and you're not saved, it's into hell for all eternity. That's the punishment for sin. That's God's anger being manifest for your sin. And here's a young man, and in many ways he's starting out in life, and he says, "It's not enough for me here. God can't satisfy. Father can't satisfy. I go and make my way in the world, and boy, am I going to enjoy it." And I have no doubt that he believed he was going to enjoy the things of the world. I have no doubt he did enjoy the things of the world. But friend, that's how it started out. The story doesn't end there. Because you'll find in verse number 13, it says, "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together." Gathered all together. And he took his journey into a far country. He took his journey into a far country. He went his own way. Gathered everything together that Father had given to him. And you know, that's really oftentimes a picture of a young person in their teens or in their 20s. All the things that God has given them, an education, to get the education sorted out. Starting a bit of money in the bank. Their health and their strength, the age that they're allowed to go off and do their own thing. And whenever they've all together, the gifts that God has given, and they come to fruition, then you know what they do? They go their own way. They go their own way. Forget about Sunday school. Forget about church. And here he was, walking down the road. Can you picture him? Bag in the back, money in the pocket. Chest stuck out. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take on the world. And you know what? There was pride in his heart. There were thoughts of sin in his heart. Dad can't see what I'm doing. Can't wait to get out there and do this and do that and do the other. And yet every single thing he was walking down the road with belonged to his father. I know better than him. My way is better. And that's often we think my way is better than God's. You know, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Young person tonight, God's ways are the best ways. Praise the Lord if you've learned that. Praise the Lord if you're saved. Praise the Lord if you're walking in holiness. But let me tell you, you go contrary to God's ways, and there's a better price to pay. There's a better price to pay. You see, there's many people think, well, you know what? I'll go out into the world for a little while, satisfy my curiosity, sin a little bit, get involved in the things I know really probably aren't right, but I'll enjoy it for a little while, and then I'll give God his place in my life. Friend, there's many a person in this country, and they learned that God's ways are better. Well, they thought, my way's better. I'll do this, and then it'll turn around. There's many a person tonight, yes, even believers, and they're scarred in their mind because of the sins that they committed, the places they've been, the things they've said, the actions they've taken part in. Many a person sitting tonight with relationships wrecked and ruined because of sin, because they went their way. And not God's way. Friend, tonight there are people in hell because they went their way and not God's way. Sometime I'll get saved. When I'm older, when I've enjoyed life, when I've done everything I want to do, then I'll get saved. And friend, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and then tomorrow didn't come and they're in hell tonight. They knew the gospel. They knew they needed to be saved. Believe there was only one way to be saved. But went their way, not God's way. You see, this young man didn't consider the bigger picture. You see, there is a here and now, and that's what many people just think about. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do to bring me pleasure this week, this month, this year? But there's also a there and then, friend, there's also an eternity. And no matter how long life is, I was at the wake of a 93-year-old woman today. No matter how long life is, they will tell you, coming up in their 80s and their 90s, it's a flash. And compared to eternity, it's not even the blink of an eye. Friends, you see, life lasts for a moment. But there is the there, and there is the end. And he learned something very quickly. He learned that sin will take you farther than you want to go. You see, man thinks he's in control of himself. I'll do this. I'll go so far. And you know what you'll find with sin? Whenever you sin to a certain degree or a certain level, that won't satisfy next time. Has to be greater. That won't satisfy next time. Has to be greater. And while it seems innocent, while it seems fun, while it doesn't seem to be a great problem, friend, it gets deeper and deeper and greater and greater. And the bondage starts to grip in. Until you're in love with sin, until you're addicted to sin, until it's all you think about, all you can do, your friend, you'll find out that sin will take you farther than you'll want to go. See the alcoholic lie on the street tonight. Not a penny to his name, no shelter. Friend, whenever he started off with the glitz and the glamour of the nightclub and the pub, friends around him laughing, money in the pocket, that was not his goal in life. Young man hooked up to a hospital, machine, the drip in, and medication being put into his body to ease the pain. Friend, when he took the first of the drugs that he ought not to have taken, friend, that was not his goal in life, to lie in the hospital bed. As I said before, there are many people tonight in eternity, and when they started out tasting the things of sin, it wasn't their goal to be in eternity for all, or to hell for all eternity. And he journeyed into a far country, and he was separated from his father. And if you're not saved tonight, you're separated from God. You're separated from God. And the Bible says, verse number 13, that he wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his substance. His money was wasted. Nothing profitable done with it at all. With riotous living. And you know what that means? That word riotous living means? It means immoral living. Did he do this? Yes, he did. The most wicked thing you can think of, he was engaged in it. The most vile thing you can think of, he was engaged in it. He held himself back from nothing. That's what the meaning of the word is. He partook of every sin imaginable. He tried everything that life had to offer. And you know what? He's not the first and he's not the last. He's not the last. Solomon, in God's word, wrote the Song of Solomon. He decided in his life he wanted to try and find fulfillment. He wanted to find pleasure. And he decided to give his life over to everything. He decided to try relationships. He got married to hundreds and hundreds of women. Every one that he picked, he married, had a relationship with her. But you know what he found out? It doesn't matter how much. It doesn't satisfy. Tried alcohol. It doesn't satisfy. He tried wealth. It doesn't satisfy. He tried wisdom. It didn't satisfy. Oh, there are people at the moment think, well, if I, you know, get a greater degree or I get greater qualifications, a greater job, I'll be satisfied. If I have that relationship, well, that person I've got my eye on, that'll be me satisfied. You know, Solomon tried it all. There's nothing new under the sun. And you know what he said? He said this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What's the word vanity mean? Empty. Emptiness. Everything's empty. Everything he tried in life was empty. Now, it was enjoyable for a time. It was pleasurable for a season. But it's empty. Why? Because when he got to the end of his life, he had nothing to show. He had nothing to take into eternity. Unprepared to meet God. And when he got to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's the book that tells us about his journeying through life, trying to find pleasure, trying to find fulfillment. Go and read it and you'll see. He tried everything. At the very, very end of this book, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I've lived my life not holding myself back from anything. What's the conclusion? What have I found out? He said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon says, God shall bring every work into judgment. Now, if my life were to be shown on a screen here behind me, my version of my life, what I know happens, friend, I would run out that door in shame. Because there's many secret things that have happened in my life that nobody knows about apart from the Lord. And I thank God they're under the blood tonight. I thank God I'll never have to face them again. You know why? Because my sins, which were many, are all washed away. When I returned from my sin and trusted Christ, he forgave my sin. The hidden sins, the secret sins, the public sins that everybody knew about. But friends, you be very sure tonight, if you're not saved, God will bring every work into judgment. Every work, with every secret thing. The sin that you've committed in the darkness. The sin that you've committed from the view of human eyes. The sins that your parents don't know about. The sin that your best friend doesn't know about. The sins that your boyfriend, your girlfriend, fiancé does not know about. God will reveal them all, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Friend, on the day of judgment, the books will be open and you will be known as you are known. You see, as this man sinned, there was a record of his sin made to be used against him on the day of judgment. Friend, from the moment you were born, from the moment I was born, record of sin, record of sin, record of sin. Even the very thoughts you're having in this meeting tonight, recorded, and one day they'll be brought into judgment. Friend, on the day of judgment, whenever I stand before the Lord, in spite of the fact I sinned greatly in my life, you know what the Lord's going to say to me? Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, not because I went to Bible college and not because I preach, but because I'm saved by the grace of God. Every believer who stands before God in the day of judgment will hear the words, well done. Why? Because God will look upon us and not see our life, but he sees the life of Christ, our substitute. Isn't that wonderful? I will stand before God and hear, well done, friend, I deserve hell. What about you in the day of judgment? Come with me, stand before the throne. Will you hear, well done, or friend, will the books be open? Will it be read out? Will you be judged for your sin? I thank the Lord that this is not the end of the story. This man is in his sin. He's enjoying his sin. But notice what happened in verse number 14. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And you know what God did in mercy? God took away the resources that he had for sinning. God took away the resources he had for sinning. And God does that. God takes away the love of sinning to those who are under conviction of sin. Sometimes in life, when people are rebellious and hard, God takes away the ability to sin. Puts you in a sick bed. You're not able to be in the places you once were. Breaks up the relationship. You're not able to do the things you once did. And God took away the resources that this man had for sinning, but he was still a sinner. But God was working in his life, drawing him onto himself. Here's what he did. He went and joined himself onto a citizen of that country. Now he's away from father's house, away from the family of his father, and he joins himself into the citizen of that country. What did the countryman do for him? Did he bring him into his house and treat him like one of his own? Did he give him money? Did he help him out with clothes? No. He sent them into the fields to feed swine. He sent them out to do a menial job. In fact, a very unclean job for a Jewish boy to be doing. And you'll find verse number 16, it says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Listen, no man gave unto him. Now that's very important because you see, when it comes to the end of time, there's no man can give anything to you to help you in eternity. Only God can suffice. Only God can give salvation. Only God can give pardon. And we live in a world, and let me tell you, this world doesn't care for your soul. Oh yes, you can go out into the places of the world, they'll clap you in the back. Oh, you're wonderful, you're great, and you're giving them the money, and you're acting the part. But let me tell you, they don't care for your soul. Don't care. Friend, they'll laugh as you journey toward hell, and I can assure you, if there are people laughing at your sin and while you're in your sin, they're not friends. If you're in your way to hell and people are laughing and encouraging to the poor, they're not friends. They do not care for your soul. But I can tell you something tonight, there are people in this room that care for your soul. There are people in this room who for the past number of months have met together on Sunday night after church. We meet at 7:30 before the meeting. And you know what they're doing? They're praying for your soul. They're praying for you. Don't know you personally, maybe some of them they do. But I'll tell you this, they care for your soul so much that they've organized these meetings. Friend, that you might be saved. This church cares for your soul. They provided this facility. Friend, God cares for your soul. God so loved the world that he gave. See, no man would give unto him in this earth, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord, whenever this young man looked around him and he realized the state of his life, you know what he did? The Bible says in verse number 17, it says, he came to himself. What's that mean? He understood clearly what was happening. He understood his lifestyle. He understood the reality of the life that he was living. The world had used and abused him. It took his money, patted him in the back, and then when he was down out, it left him. He realized he had nothing or no one to help him, but he thought back, and all he could think about whenever he thought back home, whenever he thought back to Fowler, when he thought back to the family, was there was blessing there. He looked at himself, he was poor, he was filthy, he was disappointed with life. He was filthy, he was sitting in a pigsty. This was not the life that he started out. You remember when he was walking down the road with all his possessions? Oh, so excited about the things of the world. Where did he end up, friend? He ended up in the filth. And you continue in your sin, friend, you'll end up in hell. But I trust and pray you'll come to yourself tonight. And you know what? He determined he needed to settle the issue. Have you ever realized you're a sinner? I mean, have you ever come to the point in your life where you acknowledge, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I need to be saved. Because if you've never done that, then you'll not be saved. You need to be saved. You need to confess that you are a sinner. And not only did he come to himself and say, I will go to my Father. In verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He was going to go to Father and confess his sin. That was the plan. That was the plan he made. I will. I will. He knew what he needed to do. He had a plan made out. But friend, he wasn't saved at this point. His life wasn't changed. He had a plan. And perhaps you're in this meeting for years, you've been saying, I know I need to get saved. One day I'll get saved. One day I'll get right. And yet tonight you're still in your sin. You know, the greatest lie of the devil is put it off until tomorrow. Next week, next mission, next year. Where God says, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this young man, praise the Lord, he just didn't have a plan. But verse number 20 says, and he arose. He put the plan into action. Do you know you need to be saved, friend? That's good. But you die right now, you'll be in hell. You need to go to the Father. You need to get right with God now. You need to get the issue dealt with. And it says, and he arose and he came to his Father. That's what you need to do tonight, sinner. You need to come to God the Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It means you come to Christ. Come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You come unto Christ. Why Christ? Because he was sent into this world to bring sinners to God. He was sent into this world to die for sinners as their substitute. And there's two things that you need to do if you're going to be saved. The first thing is you need to turn from your sin. Now what did this young man do? He arose. He left the sin. He left the dirt. He left the filth of this world. And he went back to Father's house. And friend, that's called repentance. That's turning your back on your former way of living. That's what you need to do tonight. You need to realize that your sin is against God. It's filthy. It must be punished. It will be punished. But you can turn from it. And if you turn from your sin tonight, then what do you do? What do you leave? You leave your sin to do what? To go to Christ. And in coming to Christ, you turn to him believing that the work he did upon the cross, he did for you and he did for me. When he died upon the cross, he died in the place of Ryan McKee. While he suffered for me. While the blood flowed from his body, it flowed for me. He was my substitute. He was my sacrifice. He is the only way to God. You see, the Bible says Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. Have you turned from your sin and trusted Christ the Savior? Friend, are you living in the gospel? Are you living in the truth? That's always been the message of Scripture from the Old Testament right through the New Testament, right through 2012. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That's what Ezekiel said to Israel. Why will ye die? And friends, today in 2012, thousands of years later, I'm saying the same words. Turn ye from your sin. Why will ye die? Why will you go to hell? Why will you rebel against God and know the wrath of God upon your sin? But here's a man who arose and he turned from his sin. And the Bible says, verse 20, while he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Friend, if you turn from your sin, you'll find a heavenly Father that desires to embrace you in his arms tonight. Desires to pardon you from your sin. Desires to cleanse you from your sin through the blood of Christ. And you know what? Here's the wonderful thing. God never changed. You see, the Father never changed in this story. The Father was always at home. The Father always was faithful. The Father always loved the Son. Who was the one who changed and wandered? It was the Son. And friend, although we've sinned and although we've wandered, God is still the same today. He pardons today. And there was great blessing. Whenever he came, you know what he received? He received a robe. That speaks to us of the robe of righteousness. Whenever we're born in sin, we've the rags of sin. God looks upon the sinner. He sees their sin, the filthy rags. But you know, the night you're saved, those rags are taken off and you're given a robe. It's called the robe of the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks upon me tonight, he sees the life of Christ because I'm covered by Christ. God looks upon the believer tonight. He sees Christ. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessing. He was given a ring. He was given shoes. These were blessings that that the Father gave to the Son. You come to Christ tonight, praying, God will give you blessing upon blessing. Pardon from your sin. Peace with God. You can put your head in the pillow tonight and know for sure that if you should die this night, it's absent the body and present with the Lord. Purpose in life. A guide through life. Strength for every circumstance. Grace for every trial. God will give unto you multitude of blessings in the gospel. And then whenever he found his son was home, he began to be merry. Friend, he rejoiced. And you know something? Tonight, whenever people are saved, even yet, the Bible tells us that there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. In the presence of the angels. I often heard that and read that passage of God's word. And it says in verse number 7 of that chapter, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons that need no repentance. And I just assumed it was the angels rejoicing. But God's word says, he shall see if the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Christ rejoices whenever sinners come. There's joy in heaven. There's a blessing in heaven whenever sinners come. Friend, not only will heaven rejoice, and not only will the people who pray tonight rejoice, not only will I rejoice, but friend, you'll be rejoicing. Peace with God. Heaven for eternity. Sins forgiven. Before I came to this meeting tonight, I got a phone call this morning to call with a man out of our congregation. And I called tonight just on the way through, and whenever I called into the house, I started to speak to him. And he came and he said, you know, I'm not right with God, I'm backslider. I haven't been out to church in a while. Got my eyes off the Lord, was looking to man, been very disappointed, and I know I'm not right with God. Very convicted over my sin. Troubled because I don't want to meet God like this. And tonight, at about 7:10, that man bowed his head. And he asked the Lord to forgive him for his sin. And to bring him back into fellowship with him again. Just almost 2 hours ago. You see, that man realized that he was sitting in the filth of this world. Praise the Lord, he turned from it. A friend tonight, he's walking in fellowship with God. What about you? What about you? Friend, let's be honest here tonight. Our meeting's almost at a close. How do you stand before God? Are you saved? Praise the Lord. Christian, are you walking with God? Could it be that you once walked well with God, you once were in the prayer meeting? Could it be that you once loved to reach souls for Christ? You maybe sang in meetings, you maybe testified, maybe even preached. Could that be that was you one time? And you're on fire for God, but tonight, friend, you're more interested in the things of the world. The music of the world, the films of the world, the places of the world. Those are more appealing to you tonight. Friend, don't let Satan rob you of the blessing of being fellowship with God. Come back tonight to the Father. Get right with God. And friend, if you're not saved, you need to come. You need to come to Christ. Confess your sin. Hymn writer said, I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home, and I repent with bitter tears. Now I'm coming home. My only hope, my only plea, now I'm coming home, is this, that Jesus died, and he died for me. Now I'm coming home. Young person tonight, our meeting's closed. All that matters in this life is that you're prepared to meet God. You can get to heaven without education. And you can get to heaven without relationships. You'd heaven without money, heaven without a car, heaven without a home. But you can't get to heaven without Christ. And we believe in the sovereignty of God. And friend, if you're not saved tonight, we believe God's brought you to this meeting tonight to let you know you can be saved through the blood of Christ. I go down to the door at the back to shake hands on the way out. If you're concerned about your soul, if you want to get right with God, if you want to get your matter of sin dealt with and come to Christ, then just say to me and we'll go together and open God's word and show you how you can be saved. My friend, I beg you, don't wander out of this meeting without Christ. If you've come in unsaved and you've left unsaved, the only difference in your life is this, that you're 1 hour closer to hell than when this meeting started. Come to the Saviour. Let's pray. Just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, once again I would urge you, if you're not right with God, please come tonight. You don't need me, but you do need the Saviour. And if I can be of any help, then please come and speak to me at the end. I'll seek to show you from God's word how you can be saved. The minister's here tonight, Reverend Park, go to him. But do get your soul dealt with tonight.